We're on text number one. Again. Right? Text number one again. Okay, well, let's see how well we did. Don't look. Because we learned the word for word last week, right? So I'll read out the Sanskrit, and then just think about what the English is, and then we'll come back and you can tell me what it is. Isha avasyam idam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bunjita ma gridha kasiswit dhanam. Isha, Supreme Controller. Isha means the Supreme Controller, by the Lord. Avasyam, controlled. Idam, this. Sarvam, yatkincha, jagatyam, within the universe. Jagat, all that is animate and inanimate. Isha vasam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat. So what does that first line mean? Who can say? And can you say the word for word?
Isha means the controller God. Vasya means controlling. Idam, this, sarvam, everything, yatkincha, whatever there is, jagatyam, in the universe, jagat, animate or inanimate.
Bravo. Okay. Next is tena, by him. Tyaktena. We talked about that because, you know, like tyaktvatur namashesha mandalapati. The six Goswamis, tyaktva, turna, mashesha, they immediately kicked off, set aside all kinds of wealth and aristocracy as soon as they heard about the Lord. So, tina, tyaktena, tyaktena. Tyaktena means? Yeah, and in this sense, it's like what's been set aside, it means like your quota, what's been set aside for you. It's interesting, the Lord sets aside something for you, specifically for every living entity. So tena tyaktena, that's your set-aside quota by him. Bunjita. Hey, that's good. He's going like, something you need to eat? Yeah. You should accept. So bunjita means you should accept. Ma, do not. Grida, endeavor to gain. Kasyaswit, what shouldn't you endeavor to gain? Something someone else's, yeah. Kasyaswit means of someone else. Dhanam, wealth. Okay, so tena tyaktena bunjita magrida kasyaswit dhanam. Tena, by him, tyaktena, set aside quota, bunjita, you should accept. Ma, do not. Gridha, endeavor to gain. Kasya swit, of anyone else. Dhanam, the wealth. So someone say what it means, that line? Okay. Okay, so Ishavasam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bunjita magrida kasyaswit dhanam. Everything animate or inanimate within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as quota, and one should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong, which is how the translation goes. Purport. Vedic knowledge is infallible because it comes down through the perfect disciplic succession of spiritual masters, beginning with the Lord Himself. Since He spoke the first word of Vedic knowledge, the source of this knowledge is transcendental. The words spoken by the Lord are called apaurusheya, which indicate that they are not delivered by any mundane person. A living being who lives in the mundane world has four defects. What are they? To be illusion, that's one. To commit mistakes is another. Propensity to cheat and? Imperfect senses. Haribo. So the four defects. No one with these four imperfections can deliver perfect knowledge. The Vedas are not produced by such an imperfect creature. Vedic knowledge was originally imparted by the Lord into the heart of Brahma, the first created being, and Brahma in his turn disseminated this knowledge to his sons and disciples who have handed it down through history. So that's as far as we got last week, because we had a discussion about what it means to have imperfect senses. And Sundaresh, can you bring us up to speed on what the entire discussion was about last time? Give all the topics and every reference of Shastra that was brought up, please.
Actually, I don't remember much. I'll just try to recollect. So one thing that came up was perfect senses doesn't mean that you can see, like, with not wearing spectacles or... seeing through the eyes of scripture, Shastra Chakshu. And...
That's pretty good. That's how it started. And then there were some other issues, topics. What else? Remember any shastra that was quoted or what we read from? Do you remember, Daniel? What we found? Well, you know we had to have quoted Atashri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Graham Indriye Siva Mukhi Hijivado Swayam Eva Spratyada. Everyone could have guessed that, even if you weren't in the class, that we would talk about that verse, because it's so perfect for the discussion that the Lord reveals Himself when He's pleased with the service, beginning with the tongue, but the gross material senses otherwise can't perceive Him on their own. I remember that we talked about the prayers of the personified Vedas, remember? Do you remember why we talked about the prayers of personified Vedas? What is the topic of that chapter? Which chapter is it in the Krishna book? Yeah, it's the last chapter. It's the last chapter in the 10th canto, in the prayers of the personified Vedas. And what's the topic? What's the question that's posed in that chapter that starts the discussion?
Whatever we are speaking, so what are coming out of our mouth, and we are using our mind for that, so both are material. So how can one understand the transcendental topic?
Exactly. The question was posed by sages many thousands of years ago, that if we have a material mind, we have a material tongue, it's material vibration coming through the material ether, then how can it reveal the topic of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And what is the early conclusion of what this discussion relates to? The early conclusion is that it relates to whether or not the Supreme is impersonal or personal. Because if the Supreme Personality of Godhead is personal, then He can reveal Himself to somebody. The infinite person can reveal Himself to the infinitesimal living entity. It's His will, so He can reveal Himself. And He has qualities. And therefore, we talked about in that conjunction with how it is that by serving the Lord, He reveals Himself because He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's when we brought up the verse of Tashri Krishna Namabe. Namadi Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyai, that the Lord can reveal Himself. And then we talked about, yes?
Can you
Prabhuji, in this context, is this the logic that if the supreme absolute truth is impersonal, that means he cannot, the absolute truth will not reveal itself to someone because the absolute truth is impersonal. Is that the logic here?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Yeah. So we talked about how perfectly receiving Vedic knowledge was also based on one's intention. Because, we got into the subject in the Bhagavad Gita about how Krishna says this shouldn't be revealed to somebody who's not austere or devoted. Remember that? And then the question, of course, came up, well, how come we're preaching to all kinds of people? They're not very austere. They may not be devoted either. We still distribute Bhagavad Gita to them. Right? Talked about that. But the point was that to receive Vedic knowledge traditionally, and still, one has to be qualified to receive it. It's actually an offense to teach this knowledge to somebody who doesn't want to hear it. There's an offense that somebody doesn't have faith to preach the glories of the holy name to the faithless. And it's said that a spiritual teacher shouldn't, teach people who are not qualified, not interested, etc., because they can't understand it. So the teacher has to be qualified, and the student also has to be qualified too. It means that there has to be some sincerity, some actual inquiry in the heart of the participant to find this out. And as Krishna says, there has to be some austerity. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam. And we mentioned that's the verse from Rishabhadevas that says, Nayam deho deha bhajam niriloke kashchan kama marhate vibhujam ye tapo divyam putrakayena sattvam shudyad yasmad brahma saukyam tunantam. That by performing tapasya, then if it's tapo divyam, divine tapasya, it's directed towards the Supreme, then the senses become purified and one can understand and experience supreme happiness, brahma saukyam. And there was something else. Oh, we talked about swaha, how tapastam tapaitena tavasiddhir bhavishyati. You know where that's from? Tapastam tapaitena tavasiddhir bhavishyati. Yeah, uvacha puratastasmai tavasiddhivya saraswati kama krishna govinda hey gopijani ityapi balabhaya pranava nirmantram te dasati priyam. Tapastam tapaitena tavasiddhir bhavishyati. Uvacha puratas tasmai. Then puratas, divine Saraswati, appeared before Brahma when he was in darkness, and then she spoke the mantra. Kun Krishnaya Govindaya Gopijana Balabhaya Swaha, and said, do thou practice austerity by means of this mantra, then you'll attain all perfection. Tava siddhir bhavishyati, just by means of this mantra. And then he Tate pe sasuchinam prinam govinam avyam svetadipam, etc. He chanted the mantra for a long time and it was revealed. So Krishna is the mantra. He's within the mantra. And by associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead through this austerity of chanting the mantra and hearing, then Krishna reveals himself. And I think we also talked about how the senses become purified by the process of bhakti. They become free from all designations. Does anybody know that verse? Look it up.
I don't know the verse, but it is in the prayers that we sing, Srimad Bhagavatam prayers every Saturday.
Really?
Just have to look it up. By regular attendance, By regularly hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam, all that is troublesome to the heart is destroyed, and loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is established as an irrevocable fact.
Oh, that's nice. Do you know the verse? Vishtaparayishu bhadrishu, the abhadras, all the inauspicious thing. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya, just by chanting regularly the Bhagavatam, nityam bhagavata. going about to recite it. Go ahead.
Nastaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama sloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki.
Translation.
By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrecoverable fact.
Nice and, citation.
And the next verse also touches on this. Tada rajastamo bhavaha kamalobha dayaschaye cheta eter anaviddham sthitam sattve prasitati. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy.
Nice. Very nice. Prabhuji, you have a question? Could you use the mic?
I mean, Krishna doesn't reveal to everyone, doesn't mean he's impersonal, correct?
The fact that he doesn't reveal himself to everyone doesn't mean he's impersonal?
Right. I mean, that's not a right conclusion, right?
Right.
So, I heard Prabhuji saying that that's an impersonal, he has impersonal aspect always, like there is a sun and sun rays are there, so they are kind of a other side of the same coin, but speculation, particularly Mayavadi, they want to just look at the one side and just highlight that completely, and that's about it. That itself is an imperfection, right?
Well, basically, what the Mayavadis are saying is the Lord has no potencies. But our point was that because the Lord has unlimited potencies, He can reveal Himself to anyone who He chooses. He has supreme will. He's abhijna and swarat. He's fully independent and He's also fully conscious and He's all-powerful, so He can reveal Himself. Whereas his point was that if the Lord was impersonal, He has no will, He has no potencies, therefore He has no impetus or means for revealing Himself to the individual living entity. That was the point. Is the heat up? Are you warm enough? Is everyone warm enough, or are you cold? Can we turn it up a tad? The next paragraph. Since the Lord is Purnam, all perfect, there is no possibility of us being subjected to the laws of material nature, which He controls. However, both the living entities and inanimate objects are controlled by the laws of nature and ultimately by the Lord's potency. This Ishapanishad is part of the Yajurveda, and consequently it contains information concerning the proprietorship of all things existing within the universe. So, since the Lord is Purnam, all perfect, there is no possibility of us being subjected to the laws of material nature which He controls. Okay, let's pull out a couple of verses from the Bhagavad Gita, which says that the Lord is the controller. He doesn't come under the control of the material nature. He's not subject. There's no possibility of being subjected to the laws of material nature. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. Give the translation. But use the mic.
Bewildered by the three modes of material nature, prithai kriyamana gunai karma, ahankara. The ahankara, out of false ego, they think that I am also product of the material manifestation, or I also, I'm not sure, can't translate.
Okay, it's pretty close. Who's got it? Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimunatma kartaham iti manyate. It's about the bewilderment of a living entity. Different. Page 329? Oh, verse 329. Okay, Bhagavad Gita, verse 329. What do you have there? Verses 3. What's the shloka number? Okay, close. 327. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of the false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. We want one that says that Krishna never comes under the control of material nature. Okay.
That means, besides these two, there is the greatest living personality, the Supreme Soul, the imperishable Lord Himself, who has entered the three worlds and is maintaining them.
Okay. We're getting close. What do you got?
Say 712.
Okay, 712. Okay, can you read it out? But use the microphone. There you go.
Now that all states of being, be they of goodness, passion, or ignorance, are manifested by my energy, I am in one sense everything, but I am independent. I am not under the modes of material nature, for they, on the contrary, are within
Bullseye.
Me.
Bullseye! Haribo! Okay, anything else? That he doesn't come under it. Tribir gurumayir bhavir. Next verse. Ebe sarvam idam jagat mohitam nabijanati mame bhya paramavyayam. Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. Daivahiyesha gurumayi mama maya duratyaya. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Mas? Okay. Yeah, we'll take that. You got one? How about maya jakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunane na konteya jagad viparivartate? You know where that verse is? Ninth chapter? It's 10, 9, 10. It's on page 411. This material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction of Sona Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Okay. So we're just reading from the Isha Upanishad. and then referring to the Bhagavad Gita. And we're on page number 18. And we're in the last paragraph. Lord's proprietorship over everything within the universe is confirmed in the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 7:4-5, where para and apara prakriti are discussed. The elements of nature, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego, all belong to the Lord's inferior material energy, apara prakriti. Whereas the living being, the organic energy in his superior energy, para prakriti, both of these prakritis or energies are emanations from the Lord, and ultimately he is the controller of everything that exists. There is nothing in the universe that does not belong to either the para or the apara prakriti. Therefore, everything is the property of the Supreme Being. Because the Supreme Being, the absolute personality of Godhead, is the complete person, he has complete and perfect intelligence to adjust everything by means of his different potencies. The Supreme Being is often compared to a fire, and everything organic and inorganic is compared to the heat and light of that fire. Just as fire distributes energy in the form of heat and light, the Lord displays his energies in different ways. He thus remains the ultimate controller, sustainer, and dictator of everything. He is the possessor of all potencies, the knower of everything, and the benefactor of everyone. He is full of inconceivable opulence, power, fame, beauty, renunciation, and knowledge. One should therefore be intelligent enough to know that except for the Lord, no one is a proprietor of anything. One should accept only those things that are set aside by the Lord as his quota. The cow, for instance, gives milk, but she does not drink that milk. She eats grass and straw, and her milk is designated as food for human beings. Such is the arrangement of the Lord. Thus we should be satisfied with those things he has kindly set aside for us, and we should always consider to whom those things we possess actually belong. Take, for example, our dwelling, which is made of earth, wood, stone, iron, cement, and so many other material things. If we think in terms of Sri Upanishad, we must know that we cannot produce any of these buildings materials ourselves. We can simply bring them together and transform them into different shapes by our labor. A laborer cannot claim to be a proprietor of a thing just because he has worked hard to manufacture it. So, is everyone thinking like that? I mean, do you consider everything that you own and everything that you wear to belong to the Lord? Arpit, do you? To some degree or another, the devotees are thinking like that, right? Things belong to the Lord. Can we just talk about that for a minute? I mean, a lot of times devotees say it was Krishna's arrangement. You've heard that one before. It's Krishna's arrangement. Something happens, and then, you know, it's Krishna's arrangement. Or that, you know, there's things that we own or that are given to us, and you consider it. How do we consider that they belong to the Lord? Or the opposite. I mean, what makes us think that they don't belong to the Lord, that they belong to us, and what are the consequences? Anything you own or something that you consider belongs to yourself? Okay, go ahead. Rasiko.
Oftentimes the concept that the things that I do good are from me, and the things I don't do so good, those, you know, the things that I fall short on and somehow or other I get away with is what Krishna is giving me. So oftentimes there's that dichotomy of being Krishna conscious when things go wrong, but when things go right, then it's just, you know, the way things ought to be.
Okay, that's nice. It's a related subject. And what about possessions? Yes.
I know with me a lot of the times it kind of has to go along with the different levels of being a Vaishnav. Like sometimes I just forget completely and it's like, oh, my shirt, my car. But then when I go into the house, a lot of the times it becomes a lot easier thinking, this is the Lord's house. This house belongs to the deities. You know, we do everything in the house for the deities. And then, you know, sometimes on rare occasions, even out in public, like out on book distribution or Harinam, it's really easy to think that everything, not even just, you know, what I'm wearing, what I'm doing, but everything that we come in contact with the people that we see, with their possessions, that it all belongs to the Lord and that it's something that, you know, we can put into His service.
Thank you. Nice point. There's a classic example in ISKCON about how things that belong to the Lord and things that belong to individuals that's been duly noted throughout the years. We take the example of the so-called temple car. For those of you who've been around ISKCON for a while, you know that the temple car is generally... let me put it like this. One time I was staying at the temple in Detroit, and we were driving to and from the airport. It was one of those Dodge vans that all the devotees practically drove. And then it was a snowy, wet day, and we were driving on the fast lane of the freeway almost to the airport. And the cover to the engine had rusted off, and it came loose, and it slammed into the windshield. So the entire windshield was blocked while we were going fast. So the devotee in the passenger side had to lean out the side window and get us all the way across the freeway. And that was a pretty typical thing, driving a temple car, because generally everyone would think, well, it's not my car, so no one ever took care of him very well. And then if you went to somebody's house and they had their own car, usually it was in really good shape and taken care of and things like that. One time when the devotees in Los Angeles picked up Jai Pataka Maharaj at the airport, I remember he got in the van and they opened the door and the door fell off. And he didn't even look because he was so used to getting picked up in temple cars. Just the point is that sometimes there's a consciousness of or a lack of consciousness, thinking that belongs to Krishna, therefore I should take care of it. Sort of, it's like a communal property, and therefore no one really cares for it very carefully. But if it's mine, Prabhupada said, ownership turns sand into gold. So if I own something, then I'll take really good care of it because it's mine. But the proper mentality is to see it as, you know, that we use things in Krishna's service, and therefore we should take really good care of them. And Prabhupada was such a meticulous example of this, and that he used everything that he had in Krishna's service, and he took really good care of it for that reason. In fact, he kept things locked up. He had a bag that he carried with him with his personal effect and had a lock on it, and when he'd get to the place he was staying, that would be locked in the armoire. Because it was Krishna's, and it would interrupt the service, his service to Krishna if it was lost or stolen, so he was very careful to take care of it. Similarly with Krishna's Lakshmi, he wasn't frivolous at all. In fact, you can look in his diaries from the very time when he went on the Jaladuta steamship, and he kept a diary. He kept meticulous accounts of every penny that he spent because it was Krishna's energy. It's Krishna's Lakshmi, and therefore he wanted to keep track of it. He didn't want to misspend even one penny outside the service of the Lord. So this, you know, taking care of what Krishna has given us because it's in his service is a symptom of seeing that we actually understand it belongs to Krishna, and not misusing the energy, and not misspending or not abusing, you know, these things that Krishna gives us. Yes. Microphone's coming. Got to turn that on.
That when the richest of the richest men, like Warren Buffett or Bill Gates, billionaires, or the poorest of the poor, and everyone in between, with every profession, when they die, no one, the richest of the rich or the poor or the middle class, no one carries a single penny with him when they die. It all stays here. No one has been able to carry, it seems, in the past, and as we know that no one can carry any material possession with them when they die. So it seems that it really doesn't belong to them because they cannot carry anything, literally anything. So.
Yeah, this is a point that's made in the Bhagavatam frequently about who does the body belong to. Even in this life, you may say, well, okay, that's death, but in this life I can enjoy as I like because the body belongs to me. But actually, Bhagavatam points out that the body doesn't really belong to us. It belongs, first of all, to the mother and father, and then later on it belongs to your employer. And when the body's given up, it either belongs to the dogs and jackals, because there's different things that happen to the body when it dies. Either gets burned in the fire, or worms eat it, or other animals eat the body. But it becomes food for them. It becomes their property. So to think that the body actually belongs to me is a mistake. Actually, it doesn't. It belongs to someone else. And ultimately, it belongs to the supreme proprietor, Krishna. There's a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the songbook. Let's look at Manasadeho Geho, where he talks about surrendering everything and realizing how everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. Page 51, thank you. Manasadeho Geho Yokichumor. Mind, body, and family, whatever may be mine, I have surrendered at your lotus feet, O youthful son of Nanda. In good fortune or bad, in life or death, all my difficulties have disappeared because I have chosen those lotus feet of yours as my only shelter. Page 52. Slay me or protect me as you wish, for you are the master of your eternal servant. If it is your will that I be born again, then may it be in the home of your devotee. Let me be born again even as a worm, as long as I may remain your devotee. I have no desire to be born as a Brahma, averse to you. I yearn for the company of that devotee who is completely free of all desire for worldly enjoyment or liberation. Father, mother, lover, son, lord, preceptor, husband, you are everything to me. Bhaktivinoda says, O Kana, please hear me. O Lord of Radha, you are my life and soul. So, this is complete surrender. It requires actually knowledge that this body is not mine, this whatever possessions I have, and also that even myself doesn't belong. Myself doesn't belong to myself. Myself belongs to Krishna. And as I was saying the other day, we were talking about this, I think on Saturday, it's a great relief. Material existence means constant debt and having to make up for that and having to support something that's foreign to me. Deha patra kalatrave chu atmasaini susatsapi tesham pramato nitanam pashyanapi na pashyati. The endeavor for material life is explained in this verse. Deha patra kalatradishu means the body. And then there's the relatives, my body and everyone in relationship to my body, my wife and then my children. Deha patra kalatradishu, atma sainyu susatsapi. They are considered to be fighting soldiers, but they're called fallible fighting soldiers because they can't really help me. And tesham pramato nithanam pashyanapi na pashyati. There's a kind of an illusion of thinking that this body belongs to me, all these relatives belong to me, but they don't. Pashyanapi na pashyati, even though it's obvious, still the person doesn't see it. He sees, but he doesn't see. So it's a burden, actually, for the spiritual soul to be entwined in this conception that I am the body and everything in relationship to my body belongs to me. But when he comes to the position of real knowledge of understanding I'm not the body, then he comes to the Brahman conception of life. Brahma bhuta prasanatma na shochati na kangshati samak sarvishu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. From that position, that burden is lifted. Actually, it's a joyful condition where one feels that I don't have to become anything because I already exist. I already am something. The nature of rajas, which dominates this world, is I always have to become something. I'm always endeavoring to get more knowledge, to get more wealth, to find some better position. But in Brahman conception, I see that actually I eternally exist. I don't have to become something else. And one who tastes that happiness immediately becomes joyful. So spiritual life begins at this position. And getting sambandha again is very important to understand this position that I'm not the body, but I'm actually the spiritual soul within the body is vital for advancing in spiritual life. Otherwise, there's no possibility for having the proper conception, simply become entangled more and more in matter. So it's a relief, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was singing like this, Manasa Deho Geho Yo Kichimor, that my body, my mind, my house, my family, everything is yours. I give it to you. And it's not like the Gyanis. The Gyanis, they renounce things, but without perfect knowledge. But the devotees, they understand where everything belongs. They give it to Krishna, and therefore, Krishna, he's Bhoktaram Jagatapasam. He's the supreme taker. Actually, throughout the Bhagavad Gita and the Vedas, the instruction is that we should learn to be givers, because in material life, we're takers. Because I've identified myself with the material body, now I'm obligated to be a taker. I'm on the take. I'm always looking for how I can get something to survive. Just to survive, I have to be a taker. This means that hastani sahasranam apadani chatushpadam falguni tatra mahatam jivo jivasya jivanam. This is the state of the material world, that one living being is food for another. Those who have hands, they eat those who don't have hands. Those who have legs eat the ones who don't have legs, and so on and so forth. And the general rule holds that one living being is food for another. It's a dog-eat-dog world. One living being's just waiting to eat the next. And this is going on in material nature just to survive. You know, everyone's trying to take something. But I don't have to survive because I can't be killed. I exist eternally. And I'm the soul behind the body that's illuminating the body. This is Brahman conception. Kshetragya. I'm the knower of the field, but I'm not the field. And Krishna says, this is real knowledge. To know this, to know that I'm the knower of the field, and to know that there's a super knower within the field, this is considered to be knowledge. So where is this knowledge available anywhere? Narhari Prabhu?
I have a question.
Yes, microphone, please.
Krishna starts, you know, his instructions to Arjuna first. This is, you are not this body. And then, you know, as we go on, we understand, you know, we get more detailed analysis. And as we read through, you know, the transcendental literature, we understand that we are not this body and we are something beyond this body. But our everyday dealings are based on this body. Even though philosophically we understand that we are not this body, because we live in a world, we identify ourselves. Because we deal with each other, living in a society based on our body. So, on one hand, we understand that the spiritual literatures are not false. But at the same time, trying to reconcile, you know, trying to how we can live in this world and deal that we are not this body. How is that? I don't know if I'm being clear.
Yeah, you're being clear. This question has been asked before by exalted personalities. One of them is Devahuti, who says to her son, who is the Supreme Personality of God, the Lord Kapiladev, that how can I understand that I'm different from the body, because it almost seems like I am. When you look at the body, if you talk to any ordinary person who doesn't have spiritual knowledge, say, who are you? And just say, I'm the body. I'm a Czechoslovakian, and I live in San Francisco. I'm a San Francisco 49er fan, and that's who I am. You know, the body and the soul seem to be so intermingled, she says, that it's practically impossible to know the difference between the two. So the answer that Lord Kapiladev gives her is that, yes, it's true, that it's difficult to understand the difference between the body and the soul. But it can be achieved through hearing over a long period of time, and a lot of hearing. A lot of hearing over a long period of time, he recommends. Then it's natural that one will see the separation. Naiva kinchit karomiti yukto manyita tattvavit pashyan shrinvan sprasan jigran ashnan gachan supan shosan pralapan vishnyan grinan unmishan nimishan api indriyan intriyarteshu vartanta iti dharayan. Krishna says in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that a person who is seeing that he's not his body, even while he's moving, seeing, breathing, speaking, evacuating, interacting with other people, knows within himself that it's only the senses which are engaged with their objects, and he actually does nothing at all. And there's an example, I'm trying to remember what it is, Prabhupada gives of there's a natural coagulation. It's like when you make curd, you know, you have milk and then you put in some agent like buttermilk, something with some acid in it, and then it separates all of a sudden. So that agent we put in is hearing, especially hearing the holy names, because if we hear carefully and we pay attention to the holy name, it will have that effect on us. And hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing the Bhagavad Gita, then gradually we'll see the separation between the body and the self. It will naturally occur. So this was the advice of Lord Kapiladev, to hear a lot over a long period of time. And then it'll naturally occur. We'll see the separation between the two. And as we talked about before, there are different ways of observing the world. Shruti pratyaksham aityam anumanam chatushpadam. This verse we talked about the other morning. There's four kinds of evidence that Krishna gives. One is shruti, one is pratyaksha. I could say for myself, just, you know, when you have experience of watching people leave their body and you're studying Bhagavad Gita and this knowledge, then it solidifies it within yourself that you're not the body. I'll never be the same after seeing, like when my mother passed away and I was right with her the whole time, watching the whole thing unwind and actually seeing her my whole life as she grew up. And, you know, you look at pictures, you can actually see how somebody's not their body. They're changing, they're the same person, they're the same spirit inside. And when somebody actually, the moment when somebody leaves their body, you can see actually that the machine's still there, but the soul's gone, and you can watch the body close down. The life goes out. I was there when Sudama left his body too in Los Angeles, and it was profound. You know, he had come there to leave his body, and devotees were hearing and chanting with him, and he was preparing and everything like that. And I was right with him, and then I just stepped into the other room and I came back in, and all of a sudden he was just gone. And you can immediately see the difference between a dead body and a living body. So there's direct experience, you know, that we get. And by hearing and by serving also, then Krishna gives us this internal realization to see that I'm not the body, that I'm separate from the body. I don't think you quite got that. Yeah.
In the 13th chapter, there is another verse that Prabhupada used to cite to make the distinction between the living entity and the body. That is 13:34, where he is giving analogy of the living entity to the sun, saying that just like... So the translation there of the verse is, O son of Bharata, as the sun alone illuminates all this universe, so does the living entity within the body illuminates the entire body by consciousness. He's making there clearly the distinction between the living entity and the body. And he's giving the analogy that just like the sun is lighting this universe, with sunlight pervading all over the universe. The living entity is lighting the body through consciousness. And the presence of the consciousness is the evidence that the living entity or the soul is present. It's consciousness being the symptom of the soul. And that a true test of this is that when consciousness leaves, the body is dead. The soul has departed. So there the distinction has been made between these two entities.
Thank you. Yes.
When you say long period of hearing and chanting.
Throughout one's life. Because we go through different phases of life, and this is called Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. The Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said, Nityam, really, it's translated as constantly. We should constantly chant. And in the periods of our life when we find ourselves working and doing all kinds of things to maintain the body, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that means at least every day. Regularly, every day. Because this infusion of spiritual knowledge, while we're going through the activities of our regular daily life, will reveal to us exactly how we're separate from the world. This verse from the Ishapanishad, Vidyam cha vidyam chayas tadvedo bayam saha, avidyaya mritum tirtva vidyaya mritum ashnute. Only one who can learn the process of nations and that of transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality. So the fact is, because of the momentum of our previous life, we're already engaged with this world. We already have a body. The prarabdha karma, for previous life is fully manifest in the form of the body, and it's going to go on. But while we're engaged like that, if we hear spiritual knowledge, then we'll begin to see everything in relationship to Krishna. And so this hearing, to answer your question, it means regularly every day. And as we go on in our life, the course of the hearing should increase. We should become attracted more and more to hearing and chanting. These symptoms are mentioned by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami, when he talks about how one who is advancing in spiritual life has particular symptoms. So he says how the first symptom is shantir. That means forgiveness. It means that there are things that happen to me during my life in the exam may be disturbing, but when I'm absorbed in spiritual consciousness, then I'm very forgiving of them. And the example is Maharishi Parikshit, who was cursed to die in 7 days. He didn't become very upset about it because he was in this stage of bhava, or very advanced stage of spiritual consciousness. And therefore, he didn't counter curse. He didn't become upset. He just said, let the snake bird or whatever magical thing that the Brahmin has conjured bite me at once. All I ask is that all you Brahmins here at the Ganges go on speaking the glories of the Lord. And the next symptom is avyarta kalatvam, which means that one doesn't want to waste a second. You can tell by these symptoms if you're advancing. If you start to feel an anxiety when 1 minute goes by, when you're not engaged somehow in Krishna's service, then you're advancing in devotional service. Shantar avyarta kalatvam, manashunyata. Manashunyata means that one gives up the false ego. And viraktir is the next thing, which means detachment from the world. And the example of this is Maharaj Bharata, whom the Bharatavarsha is named after. And he was a young king. He had a beautiful wife. He had all the money in the world. He had everything he wanted. But because of his advanced spiritual condition, he gave it all up easily. It wasn't a difficult thing for him. He had no affection for the material world because he was so attached to the spiritual world, so attached to Krishna. So he was able to go avyaktir mana shunyata, mean that one is purified of any kind of false ego. Then there's the positive attachment to hearing and chanting about Krishna. Namagani Sada Ruchi means that there's a ruchi for hearing the names of Krishna. So we can judge for ourselves if we're becoming more and more inclined, more attracted to spending time hearing Krishna's name by chanting in kirtan or japa or hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam. If we get a taste for that, a ruchi, we'll be more and more inclined towards that. That's a healthy sign that we're advancing in devotional life. You can tell for yourself if I'm making advancement in spiritual life. And then there's hearing Krishna's pastimes, and living in a holy place means living in a place where Krishna resides. If I'm attracted to that, means I'm making advancement in spiritual life. So the symptoms are all there, and my point is this. You're asking this question about how long do I have to hear, and what does it mean, a long time? And we should advance by increments. We should be making incremental advancement. And if we are, then it won't seem like a long time, because every time that we do find ourselves making some advancement, then it's encouraging. And we should understand what the signs are and what the symptoms are, so that we can be aware that we are advancing spiritual life. Hare Krishna. Yes.
You're mentioning about making, like, becoming freed from the false ego. And I was kind of contemplating how over the years I've had experience of being very attracted to hearing and chanting, and we used to do that all the time, but somehow or other, due to offenses or some other reason, that's now not the case. So, to make an active plan to challenge the reign of the false ego that keeps us from being engaged in those beneficial activities of hearing and chanting seems what happens is that the plan is there to change the habit of not hearing and chanting, and then when the time comes to actually engage in those activities, the false ego, knowing what our plan is, just grabs the reins and runs away, and there's little that is able to be, generally I find myself just being carried away against my will. I'm just watching my time just fly by, wasting it on inconsequential things, and I'm lamenting my situation, watching my time go by, but it seems I'm powerless to do much about it. I don't know why. Could just be the modes of nature, vata imbalance, or
it's a wind disorder. What you're asking probably is, how to rectify that, right? And one thing is by association. Association is very powerful. If you want the easy way, then get good association. That's what everybody does for making advancement in anything. That's why there's all kinds of societies for everything. Like if you want to practice hatha yoga, most people go to a hatha yoga class, because to wake up and do your own hatha yoga practice every day is difficult to do it by yourself. People who want to learn public speaking, they join the National Speakers Association, and they go and they associate with speakers, and then they become a speaker. By the same token, drunkards, they usually hang out with other drunkards. It's much easier that way. You get a good association with drunkards, you become a really first-class drunkard. So really, the real key, Lord Chaitanya said, to making rapid advancement in devotional service is grab on a good association. There's a phrase in New York City. It's called kitching a ride, kitching. And what the kids used to do is they'd get behind a bus on their bicycles and they'd grab onto the bus. And then they, goes, and I saw that happening when I was leaving Vrindavan this year. We were together, right? And we were driving out, and there was a character holding onto the back of a truck with his bicycle, and he was going about 60 miles an hour. She normally wouldn't have been able to do. So he was kitching a ride on the truck. So we can kitch a ride, too, with good association. And if you seek it out, you know, go out of your way to be in the right place at the right time, it's a no-brainer practically. You're there, and it rubs off. This is, you know, just by contact. Even it said, even a lava matra of sadhu sangha, just a little bit. What to speak if you consciously try to put yourself there in the association of advanced devotees. And advanced devotees doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you have to find, you know, the most extraordinary devotee in the universe, although that's nice if you can. But all devotees are extraordinary in some way or another, and they all have some good qualities that you can get, especially, you know, devotees that are very sincere, that are trying hard, arrange a way that you can be with them more. Invite them into your space at the times when you know then you have the most trouble. Generally, there's, you know, the mind splays out at certain times during the day. You might have noticed that, you know, around 2 o'clock every day, my mind just, I can't engage it. I can't sit. I can't read. I can't work. I can't do anything. So schedule some time with devotees around that time and make good advantage of it. Or, you know, tell people, I need your help at, you know, at a certain time. Go to chant japa with devotees. If you're having trouble chanting 16 rounds, find somebody who's already chanting 16 rounds, who's doing it well, and just say, hey, can I come sit next to you when you chant 16 rounds? That works. It really works. It does. If you go and you sit next to somebody who's chanting 16 rounds and say, can I just sit with you in the same room? Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends this for being able to chant your 16 rounds. Just catch a ride. And if you want to become better at reading, you know, be around somebody who reads a lot. And just, you know, hang on to them. That's the easy way to make advancement in devotional service. So that's one very solid thing that you can do. So let's chant a chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, because that's another thing that you could do every day. It's very powerful. And since we've been reading chapter 7, let's chant the chapter 7. And that starts on page number 321. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Maya Sakta Mana Partha, Yogam Yunjan Madashrayaha, Asamsayam Samagramam Yata Gyasa Sitachinu. Jnanam teham savijnanam idam baksham yasheshataha yajgyatva nihabhuyo nyaj gatyavyam avashishyate manushyanam sahasreshu kashyad yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashyam mam veti tatvataha punalo vayu kamano bhudir evacha Ahankara itiyame binna prakritir ashtada apareya mitas tanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bhutam mahabaho ya yedam daryate jagat itadyoni niputani sarvanit yupadaraya aham krishnasya jagataha pravava pralayastata Matak paratanam nanyad kinchidasti dhananjaya mayi sarvamidam protam sutre manigana iva rasoham apsukonteya prabhasmi shashisurya yoho pranavak sarva vedeshu shabda ke purushandrishu punyo ganda prativyam cha tejas chasmi vibhava Nam sarvabhuteshu tapas chasmi tapasvishu bijamam sarvabhutanam vidiparta sanatanam buddhir buddhimantamasmi tejas tejas vinamaham balam balavatam chaham kamaraga vivarjitam dharma virodo bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshava Ye chaiva satvika bhava rajasas tamasas chaye Mate eveti tanvidhi natvaham te shute mayi. Junamayir bhavir ebi sarva midam jagat mohitam nabijanati mamebhya paramavyayam. Hiesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Namam tuskritinu muda prapadyante naradama maya aprita jnana asuram bhavamasrita. Chaturvida bhajante mam jana sukritinu arjuna arto jignasa artarti jnanicha paratarshaba. Tesham jnani nitya yukta eka bhaktir vishishyate priyohi jnani no tyartam aham sacha mama priyaha. Udarak sarva evaite jnani tvat vaiva mematam astita sahiyuktatma mamevam utamam gatim. Bahunam jamanamante jnanavam mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sadurlabha. Kamaistaiste rita jnana prapadyante nyadevata tam tam niyamamastaya prakritya niyatasvaya. Yo yo yam yam tanum bhakta shradayarchitam ichati tasya tasya chalam shradham tameva vidadham yaham. Sataya shradaya yuktas tasya ardhanamihate labate cha tata kaman mayaiva vihitan hitan. Antavatupalam tesham tadbhavatyalpamedasam devan deva yajo yanti madbhakta yanti mamapi. Avyaktim vyaktim apanam manyate mama buddhaya param bhavam ajananto mamavyayam anutamam. Naham prakarsha sarvasya yoga maya samavritaha mudho yam nabijananti loko mama jamavyayam. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjana vavishani chabhutani mam tu vedana kashchana. Icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yanti parampapa. Yesham tvantakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva mohanir mukta bhajanti mam jridavrataha. Jara manana mokshaya mama srita yatantiye te brahma tadvedu kritsnam adyatma karmachakilam. Sari bhutari daivamam sari agyam chayevedu prayana kali pichamam tevedu yukta chetasaha. Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supanishatsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastri Shri Krishna Arjuna Sambade Gyan Vigyan Yoga Nama Saptamo Dhyayah. So, let's look at text number 9 on page 333. Punya, original, Ganda, fragrance, Prithivyam, in the earth, Cha, also, Teja, heat, Cha, also, Asmi, I am, Vibhavasau, in the fire, Jivanam, life, Sarva, in all, Bhuteshu, living entities, Tapa, penance, Cha, also, Asmi, I am, Tapasvishu, in those who practice penance. Translation, I am the original fragrance of the earth, and I am the heat and fire. I am the life of all that lives, and I am the penances of all ascetics. Purport, punya means that which is not decomposed. Punya is original. Everything in the material world has a certain flavor or fragrance. as the flavor and fragrance in a flower, or in the earth, in water, in fire, in air, etc. The uncontaminated flavor, the original flavor, which permeates everything, is Krishna. Similarly, everything has a particular original taste, and this taste can be changed by the mixture of chemicals. So everything original has some smell, some fragrance, and some taste. Vivavasu means fire. Without fire, we cannot run factories, we cannot cook, etc., and that fire is Krishna. The heat in the fire is Krishna. According to Vedic medicine, indigestion is due to a low temperature in the belly. So even for digestion, fire is needed. In Krishna consciousness, we become aware that earth, water, fire, air, and every active principle, all chemicals and all material elements are due to Krishna. The duration of man's life is also due to Krishna. Therefore, by the grace of Krishna, man can prolong his life or diminish it. So Krishna consciousness is active in every sphere. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Manatanjena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Hayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Hum Sri Guru Sri Uta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Taham Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kriyasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So every living entity is actually looking for Krishna. Krishna is everywhere and he's within everything. And we can see how, for instance, a moth goes towards the flame. You can watch when we were just in Vrindavan, we saw at night these Diwali germs. They come out and they're born in the evening time and they circle around the lights furiously for a few hours. And by the morning time, there's a huge pile of them. And their whole life and existence, they actually are born, they mate, they go to Home Depot. They do all that stuff within a couple of hours. And then they're dead by the next morning. And their whole experience of life is that light bulb. They're attracted to it. And it's described in Vedic literature how every living entity, according to the development of its consciousness, is connected to Krishna, beginning with annamoy, which means through food. Primary living entities, just like all other living entities, eat food one way or another, and that's their main experience, their main impetus in life is simply to eat all day long. But it should be understood, actually, that the experience they're getting and the attraction to the food and everything else about it, the nourishing effect that it has, that's Krishna. That's why they're attracted to it. And then there's a higher stage of life, pranamoy, where one becomes more aware of one's existence, that one actually exists, and there's energy and life, pranamoy. And gyanamoy means when one's able to analyze one's actual existence of being a separate part away from the body and the mind. And anandamoy means entering into spiritual life where one's actually connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, where there's true ananda. But in all stages, one way or another, we're connected to Krishna. There's never any separation. But what we're looking for really is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And without having that connection with Krishna, then there's no satisfaction. And therefore, the process of success in life is to connect to Krishna. And by chanting the Lord's names, Nam Namakari Bahuda Nijasarva Shaktis Tatrarpita Niyamahita Smanani Nakala, that one can be connected with Krishna in any circumstance, in any time, in any place, and one's personally connected with Krishna. So this is highly recommended to satisfy the soul, to actually attain everything that we've been looking for since we've been transmigrating from one species of life to another and experiencing Krishna by tasting or by breathing or by thinking. We can experience all of that directly just by chanting the Lord's names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And by, especially as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the process of Samkirtan, which means the congregational chanting of the Lord's names, and especially how he introduced to take it out, to introduce it to the public, then there's also an increased awareness of the potency of the holy name of Krishna. How people are attracted to Krishna also helps us to become attracted. When we were last weekend, was it last weekend? We went to the Haight-Ashbury to have kirtan and to distribute Krishna consciousness, to distribute books. And Gauranga Kishore was playing the drum, the madanga, and our very own Rasikonanda Prabhu was playing on the harmonium. And Arpit was playing the kartals very expertly. So there was a trio going out there. And we noticed right away that the vibration of the holy name, it cut through the environment of the Haight-Ashbury, which is normally very oppressive. And we realized that as soon as the sound of the Harinam stopped, what we would have been up against if the holy name hadn't been there. And also, we saw how people became joyful. A lot of foot tapping going on. People would come over and they'd stand and they'd observe the chanting and they'd be swept away by it. Some people would smile. Some people would begin to sway. Some people begin to dance. Another boy came over who was a trumpet player, and he stood there and he began to blow his horn along with the trio. So that also added, you know, nice vibration because he's playing for Krishna. And so the Srimad Bhagavatam says, Apana samsritim gauran yannama vivashogranan tato sadhya vimucheta yadbibheti swayambayam. That this holy name of Krishna, it's feared by fear personified even. And that one can be delivered from this world just by calling out the name of Krishna, by being in contact with Krishna. So all these rare experiences, everything that this kind of taste that we're all looking for, you know, that everyone goes all over the world to try to find it. When you fly to Israel, you'll see a big billboard and it says, go to Germany. And when you get to Germany, there'll be a big billboard, try Hawaii. You get to Hawaiian Islands and they say, Australia. You know, this way, it's like the old machines they used to have called pinball machines. They don't have them anymore, I don't think. But this little silver ball, and you'd shoot it out of the thing, and it would bounce from one thing to the next. This is Brahmanda Brahmate Kon Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. This describes Lord Chaitanya that the soul's like a little pinball. He's getting shot around from one place to another, trying to experience Krishna, but he's only getting a little flicker here and there. But when he comes in contact with the direct mercy of the Lord, which he comes in contact with Krishna through the Guru and Guru through the mercy of Krishna. And by that, then he'll be able to get the direct experience of Krishna by the process of chanting his names. And then all good things occur, and one can live one's natural life of being constantly in contact with Krishna through the chanting of the Lord's names. And experience a complete happiness without cessation by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because Krishna is actually dancing on the tongue of the person who's chanting. It's not figurative or some kind of an analogy, but it's actually true. Krishna is his name. And all the taste that we're looking for is there when we chant Krishna's name. In the beginning, the taste may not be clear. We may not experience it fully. But by carefully chanting the names of the Lord every day, Syat Krishna Nami, Charitari Sitapta Vidya, Pitopatapta Rasanasena Rochikanu, whatever obstacles we had before, they'll be cleared, and we'll be able to taste it gradually. And in that process, it's very important to avoid offenses. There are 10 offenses in chanting the Hare Krishna Bhavmantra. And we should be careful to avoid those offenses while we're chanting, because it's compared to lighting a fire while pouring water on it. If we try to expand our spiritual life, at the same time we make offenses to the holy name, then we hinder our progress. Every day, if we're carefully chanting the holy name, which means also avoiding offenses, means if I catch myself about to make an offense, I should reverse it. And if I've already made the offense, I should reverse it. I should go backtrack and reverse that offense. And by developing this careful mentality, Krishna becomes pleased, and he actually comes to the devotee in the form of his name very clearly, to the devotee who's avoiding offenses. And that's all that's needed. This is what Lord Chaitanya taught, that just by chanting the holy name without offense, one could have the complete experience of Krishna. And he'll feel that there's no greater gain. There's nothing else to be had. In other words, yam labha chaparam labha, Krishna says, he'll experience a happiness that's so great that he'll think there's nothing else to be had in this world except for this. There's nothing more important than this. And it's not that far away. Anyone who will take the chanting of the holy name of the Lord and avoid the 10 offenses very carefully. And there's an 11th offense, which is called inattention. And this is something we have a lot of control over. And that is to make a plan to be attentive when I chant. And how can we do that? How can you make a plan to be attentive when you chant the holy name? Who said? Vedavit? Thank you, Vedavit Prabhu. Vedavit Prabhu said, chant in the early morning. So why is that important to chant early in the morning? Does anybody have experience of this, practical experience? Yes.
That's when the mode of goodness is predominant, and it's calm and peaceful, and the mind isn't engaged in all the to-dos of the rest of the day, generally.
And what else? That's good points. What else about the early morning on a practical level? Yes, Arpit? Brahma-murti naturally is favorable, but give me practicals. What's favorable about it to you? You've been there, okay. Huh? It's full of energy? You're full of energy or it's full of energy? Both, okay. There's special energy in them where you had something? Yeah, there's a practical thing. Very few people call you on the phone at that time of the day. Of course, yeah, they may have gone to sleep. Of course, it's a good idea to turn off your computer too, because somebody on the other side of the world can Skype you, or you know, you can read the, you know. But generally, that time of day, there's not a lot going on. There's not leaf blowers going, and it's quieter. So you can actually have 2 days in one. There's that first stage of the day when you get up early, and if you chant during that time, you can get a lot more concentration and be attentive while chanting. What's another way to be attentive while chanting the holy name? Everyone, please move up by 2 feet, 2 inches. How can you be attentive? Yes. Microphone.
Make your senses inward, like just like the turtle pulls the limbs off if the environment is not conducive.
Okay. He's saying pull your senses inward. That means that don't let them roam around everywhere. You could concentrate in one place and look inward. Everyone knows how to do that. You can, or maybe you don't, but you can practice. Look inwardly instead of looking around. If you walk around, if you look around, if you're looking at a computer screen or something like that while you're chanting, it means your senses are going somewhere else, your senses and mind. But if you sit down and you concentrate inwardly and you chant and you listen to the name, this could be very helpful. How else can you be attentive while you're chanting? Yes.
Rukmini Mataji was telling how she was with Srila Prabhupada and she was observing him chanting japa. And she saw that when he would chant the holy names, he would roll the bead for the Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, and then he would hold it still for Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and then half the mantra. So he would just be concentrating on just one half of the mantra at a time. And I was trying that and it works quite nicely.
So there's a way when you... Can you pass me a bag of those beads? One bag of beads.
Bead bag.
Dr. Jonathan and I carried home over 1,000 sets of japa beads. And it wasn't easy. Huh? But it was fun. It definitely was fun. Look at this. Japa beads for everyone. So, oh, these are tied together. Somebody have a Swiss Army knife? Or can you undo that? Yeah, we're short. So using the beads, you can feel there, you can concentrate on the bead. Hansapriya Mataji was saying that she thinks about each bead individually as a gopi, and she's getting the association of a pure devotee on each bead and how that pure devotee is helping. And so you can concentrate when you're chanting like that. So early in the morning, then look inwardly. Use the beads and feel the tactile sense, hear the vibration. Okay? Yes.
Huh? Chant in front of Tulsi.
Chant in front of Tulsi. Special benediction. When you live with Tulsi, when you chant in front of Tulsi, then she is a pure devotee. And that's what I was talking about with good association. You have Tulsi in your room? You have Tulsi, okay. So if you have Tulsi and you take care of Tulsi and you chant with Tulsi and chant in front of Tulsi, this is highly recommended. Yes?
If you also read the holy names or if you can see the holy names.
Oh, yes. This is a wonderful thing. A while back, one of the MSFs, Praveena Mataji, made those beautiful placards of the holy name. That was one of the best ever. And, you know, if you have beautiful Maha Mantra, either drawn or printed, and you have in front of you the names of the Lord, and you can watch them as you chant. Have your eyes follow the holy name. That's very powerful, too. Nice.
The other is the instruction that Krishna gives to
it's on.
Arjun, and that is practice detachment, in that one, while chanting, recalls that one is moving away, drifting to something. So it's a bring back the mind to the sound of the vibration.
It's such an excellent point, because Krishna gives this instruction of how to get free from the tree of the material world, right? Na rupa masyeha tato palaptite nanto na chadir na chasampratishta Ashvatthamenam suvarudamulam ashanga shastrena dridhina chitva. So he says we're entangled in the tree of the material world. And how to get free from that tree where you can't see the end, can't see the beginning, he gives the weapon by which we can cut down the strongly rooted tree, and that's the weapon of detachment. So we can practice detachment. And that means while we're chanting, we can practice letting go of other things that come up in our mind. Like I might sit down to chant, and immediately I think, oh, I forgot to fill in the blank. I mean, there's a million things that can come up in my mind. But if I've planned ahead that now I'm going to chant japa for 2 hours, and whatever else comes up, I'm going to let it go. Just let it go and practice that detachment. If you practice after a while, then you see the world goes on without you. Just like with travel, sometimes you think, well, as soon as I leave, everything's going to fall apart or whatever. You know, everyone thinks that. I'm in my comfort zone and the world revolves around me. And then as soon as you go somewhere else, you see the world goes on fine without me. And that helps you become detached because you see that, you know, Krishna's feeding every living entity everywhere. It doesn't matter where you go. He's there within the heart. He's there within the atom. You know, he knows what's going on. Just be detached. Depend on Krishna. And this is the time to do it when you're chanting japa. So, yes.
And the mind is saying this and that and the other distraction, that it's okay if I give my energy to being attentive to my japa, then Krishna will carry what I lack and preserve what I have. That, you know, Krishna will somehow or other pull a miracle, and even if I'm supposed to be doing something else right now, I'm giving my time to Krishna, and he'll protect me. So that's a nice meditation.
What a wonderful thing to have a mother like that to tell you something like that. So let's chant one round together. Those of you who don't have beads, we got plenty of beads here. So if you don't have your japa beads with you or you don't have japa beads, who doesn't have japa beads yet? Okay, would you like some japa beads? You could pass these out. If you have your beads with you, then you can pull them out now. Otherwise, you can use one of these. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Here, Nilesh will help you pass them out. Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. I'm not sure if you got enough there, do you? You need more? You need more, okay. Anyone have a shot at this? Who can help? Too bad George isn't here. Okay, so does everyone know how to use the japa beads? It's these two fingers of your right hand. And then there's 108 beads, hopefully, on each string. And then there's one head bead, this bead at the top. You're just in time, Srivats. Come on in. This is the Krishna bead. And these 108 beads all the way around are Krishna's intimate associates, the gopis. So we're going to chant one Hare Krishna mantra on each bead using these two fingers, rolling the bead in our fingers like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One mantra on one bead. Don't move ahead on each bead, on each mantra. Just one mantra like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then when I get to the next mantra, I move to the next bead. Hare, here comes a knife. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So when you go all the way around one time, you'll come to the other side. Don't chant on the head bead. Don't chant on the Krishna bead. Just turn around. Now when you get all the way around once, that's called one round. So you can use this to count how much you chant every day. And this will help you to concentrate. Hold the beads. You can even get a bead bag to put your beads in. And then, of course, there's counter beads, which are good for if you're going to chant more than one round a day. So you can keep track of how many rounds you're chanting. We're almost ready. Yes? Start from the small one. And then go around the other way. Any other questions before we start? Yes, Arpit. Hare Krishna.
A way of having an attentive chanting is to like read a book on the holy name, like we have one book by Prabhupada, like Ram Nama Amrit is there, or like there's one book by His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj. So just reading for 2 minutes about the glory of the holy name and meditating on that, then when we chant the holy name, it becomes little...
Good point. Where attention goes, energy flows. So if you're thinking about, you're reading about, you're cultivating it, then you'll be able to chant with more attention. Thank you. Arpit needs one right behind you, Leon. Everyone have some japa beads? Okay. Okay, so we'll start on this bead and we'll chant one round together. Are you ready? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakti. Can we turn the lights down a little bit and turn the other thing on? Those Christmas lights. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
When we were at San Francisco State University the other day, I met a student there. She was studying African studies, and she bought a Bhagavad Gita. And then I took out one of the cards that has the Hare Krishna mantra on it, and I asked her if she believed in the power of prayer, and she said she did. And I said, so here's a prayer that's written in Sanskrit. It's beautiful names of God. It's meant to wake up love for God in your heart. And I'll teach you how to chant it. So just repeat after me and you'll know how to do it. Are you ready? And then a smile broke out on her face. She looked kind of concerned and she said, I don't know. And I said, well, why don't we just try it? And she said, I'm scared. And I realized that there's something in this mantra. When we teach it to other people, sometimes we notice that either they're scared to chant it sometimes, because Krishna's telling them in their heart that this is the end of your material life if you chant this mantra. And some people, they'll go along with it, and then a smile breaks out on their face. They know they're doing something extraordinary. And hearing other people chant, it's very inspiring. One way or the other, Lord Chaitanya said, fix your name on this holy name. Fix your mind on this holy name. Harinam, harinam, harinam eva kevalam, kalo nasteva 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 gatiranyata. Because it's the prime benediction for humanity at large. It's the main process for making advancement in spiritual life. So in this day and age, when there's so much distraction, there's so much trouble in the world, the thing to do is find one place where you can repose your energy, where you'll get the most result. And out of all the 64 elements of devotional service, there are five which are most important, which we've talked about many times. And out of those five, the one that's the most important is chanting a Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So treat your beads like they're your best friend. They're very sacred. Put them in a special place. Take care of them. Hang them up with care. And make a plan the night before. If you're going to get up early, make a plan where your beads are going to be, how you're going to get up. Think it over in your mind, how you're going to get up and chant your round or your rounds, how many ever you're chanting. And plan ahead. Plan ahead and make this the focal point of your life. Because just by doing this, just by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Lord Chaitanya assures us that we'll make rapid advancement in devotional service. So we have lots of beads here. For those of you who don't have a set of japa beads already, then you can take this with you today if you promise that you'll try to chant one round a day. Otherwise, you can give me $5 and you can take it. And then you can do whatever you like. So if somebody doesn't have a set of beads and you promise that you'll try to chant one chant round of japa every day, then you can take them, but you have to report back and let us know how you're doing. Okay? Otherwise, you give $5 and you're off the hook and you can do whatever you like. I'm that cheap that I'll be paid off for $5. And everybody else, you can hand these japa beads back. We have a plan here in the Bay Area to spread Krishna consciousness all over the Bay Area. That's our mission here, to teach as many people as possible how to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, to read and follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. So we want to spread this. So that's why we got 1,000 sets of japa beads. As we figured that if we get 1,000 more people chanting japa this year, that would be a nice goal. And of course, we have an order in for 108 madungas, which I told you about, and that should be coming fairly soon, along with 108 harmoniums. And we get the other kind of chanting going on in different places. So if you don't know how to play madunga, you better start learning. And if you don't know how to play harmonium, Malini told me she's going to start taking lessons. Everyone should learn how to chant. We'll have a little class on how to lead a kirtan. Rasikananda Prabhu is one of the best harmonium players I've ever heard in my life, and he's also an excellent teacher. He can show you how to play harmonium. And so take lessons and learn a few tunes. Even learn one tune, how to play on the harmonium. You could do it, if you take lessons from him, you can learn in 5 minutes. And you can learn just a couple beats on the madunga, and then start practicing, because we're going to have kirtans all over the Bay Area in different selected places. We want to have, on one day, 108 madungas employed. That means probably groups of 5 devotees having kirtan with harmonium, madunga, and kartals, which will mean we'll probably have like 600 devotees. I figure 545 devotees in groups of 5 all over the city, and then all at one time. And we'll have it all the way from Sacramento down to Gilroy and different places in a one given day. So that's our goal for next year, is to get to that point, plus at least, and we can get more of these. Jonathan and I will go over and bring back a few more trunks full of these beads. But chant your japa every day. Chant japa. Don't miss it. Every day chant your japa and fix on a number. Whatever number you're going to pick, make that your heart and soul. If you can say one round a day, I'm going to do. Finish your one round a day. If you're on 2 rounds, do that. If you're on 16 rounds or you're shooting for that, try to increase and make it up to that. But don't skip your 16 rounds. If you could do 16 rounds a day, you're empowered. That's a powerful thing to be able to do that. It takes time. It takes some power. But you'll get it all just by chanting with attention. Just put a little attention in. Krishna will do everything. So this is the goal of our Krishna consciousness movement, is to get everybody chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And it starts with ourselves. If you chant and you listen, that's all you need to do to make advancement in spiritual life, and you'll become empowered too to teach other people how to do it, and that's what we want. So take it easy, but take it. And be kind. Be kind to yourself, be kind to everybody else. That's our religion, is kindness. Show kindness to every living being by spreading the holy name. It's a good concept, isn't it? Everyone else making money or exploiting everything. Let's be kind. Be kind to yourself and be kind to all the other living entities. That's something we can all live with. And it all starts with chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Goprimanande Hari Hari Bol. So if you don't have beads, keep them if you're going to chant one round of japa a day. And if you're not, you come up and give me $5. And if you already have beads, come and give these back, because we need them to spread out around the rest of the Bay Area. Okay? Yes? Can we do one round of chanting every Wednesday? Yeah. It sounds good to me. Yeah, you want to come a little early on Saturday? Come at 7:15. And then we can chant from 7:15 to 7:30 together. Oh, during the 7:30 to... Yeah, we can do that. We can do it. Okay. Okay, so... looks like Bhakti Daniel's going to collect all the japa beads. You can hand them all back to him if you don't need them. Yes. Have a microphone.
This is really a very, very fundamental question for me.
which is that should Krishna be pronounced as Krishna or Krishna? Because the way we write it, it looks like we have to pronounce as Krishna, but Krishna. We pronounce as Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. They say like this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Say Krishna.
But then why do we write it that way? Because in other parts where we write R in that way, we use the, I mean, we pronounce it with U, with, you know, something like U.
Well, different places, people pronounce it differently according to their dialect and things like that. Best thing, Prabhupada pronounced Krishna, Krishna. So just follow Prabhupada and everything will come out okay. You'll hear how he says it and say it. Yes?
What is it, Narasimha or
Narasimha? Narasimha.
Yeah, but sometimes
that you want to sing Narasimha. Narasimha or Narasimha, either way. It's okay. Narasimha. Nara means human, Sringha means the lion. So Narasimha or Narasimha. Yeah, Narasimha, that's more correct. But if you say Narasimha, it's not incorrect either. Yes. Why don't you use that finger? It's your cursing finger. If you want to curse somebody, you go like this. It's sort of like, you know, the body has all different modes of nature and different purposes and everything like that. And this finger is considered to be a finger that's like impure and for different things. It's ruled by a certain planet. I'm not sure who. But he doesn't like to be in the bead bag with everybody else. Yes?
We also had a Japa retreat.
Oh, microphone.
We had a Japa retreat in Vrindavan, and the devotee leading it, Mayapur Prabhu, he was telling how the different fingers correlate to different chakras. And when we did an experiment. We all chanted Om Namo Narayanaya with our fingers, with the index on the thumb. And then we went through each finger and chanted it on each finger. And you could tell there was a tangible difference between each finger. Mm. And he was saying that the index finger is the Jnana Mudra. It's for the head chakra. It's for your mind. And if you chant like that, then you'll become very heady. It'll make you very mental. And when you chant with the middle one, it's the heart chakra. So this index, the middle finger is like that.
And this is a good point. Chant from your heart. You can call out to Krishna from your heart when you chant Hare Krishna, and he will respond because he's there, he knows your mentality, and if you chant out, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare, help you to concentrate, remember Krishna, call to him. Okay, everybody chant japa, chant lots of japa, and chant really good japa. It's the main means of advancement, and the only way we're going to be able to accomplish our goals of spreading this mission all over the Bay Area is for everyone to be empowered. So you got to chant your japa, and chant it really nicely, and concentrate on it, and help your fellow devotees, encourage them with their japa, and invite devotees over to chant with you, and you can make little groups. It's nice to meet here at the temple when you can and chant extra japa. Some devotees here, I noticed, they come on Saturday after the class, they come in and they sit and they chant japa, extra japa. Rasikonanda?
Could I request a special japa club to be formed where we keep tabs on each other?
Yes, let's have a japa club. Okay, would you start it?
Yes, and if I don't chant, you hit me with a club.
We'll bring in a japa club, okay. All right. Srila Prabhupada, yes. It's a little slow. If you chant at that speed, you'll be chanting if you chant 16 rounds, it'll take you a long time, maybe 4 hours. If you're just starting to chant japa, it's better to chant slow and really concentrate at japa, and then work your way up. And you can chant faster than that, but make sure you pronounce all the words and syllables. Devotees will chant more quickly, but don't lose your concentration. Go as fast as you can without losing your concentration. Okay? And practice, 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 and practice listening and bringing your mind back. And everything good will come from that. Okay. Anything else? Gop Premanande, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, holy name ki jai, Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.